folks. Welcome back. This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We have a lot of other stories to that we could be getting to here. I got a lot of other videos to go to. Obviously, you know, everything that we covered in the Daily Dispatch. You've got an Oklahoma City approving controversial facial recognition deals. The O'Keefe Media Group's come out with new undercover footage showing the director of a nonprofit group admitting that they tip off illegal aliens when ICE is nearby. So another person whose name should be on the arrest list. Manhunt in Colorado after agent opens fire on criminal illegals attempting to ram ICE vehicle. So now you've got illegal immigrants using vehicles as a weapon trying to ram ICE agents. We got, you know, the ongoing starvation situation in Gaza. Joe Biden is under the impression that marginalized groups are dramatically under attack in this country, which I think we're all shocked to hear that Joe Biden is, in fact, still alive. Trump envoy sees Gaza aid efforts firsthand. Like, we got a lot that we could be talking about. We got a lot of stuff going on in the world. But I don't think anybody will blame me if I just keep reading through this document. And I'm just going to have to speed it up a little bit, because I've been commenting on a lot of it and trying to put it all in perspective. I'm just going to have to trust the InfoWars audience to understand some of the conclusions embedded in this article for themselves, because I'm going to try to get through as much of it as possible. And I can't constantly be harping on and on about, you know, what it implies. And I'm going to have to trust you to do that. I do want to go to a video, though. Clip number one. This is a video. I believe this is a report from 2020, if I'm not mistaken. It was posted by Maze Moore on X. It'll get to a point where regular, but this is, let's go to clip number one. This is from Fox News. DOJ investigating James Comey over alleged leak of Russian intelligence document. Let's go now to clip number one.
The document reportedly came to the attention of U.S. intelligence officials from Dutch intelligence. It included discussion of an email exchange between former DNC chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Leonard Bernardo, an official with Open Society Foundations run by George Soros. According to the Times, Wasserman Schultz allegedly told Bernardo that then Attorney General Loretta Lynch would not charge Clinton with a crime for having the private email server. Wasserman Schultz and Bernardo have both denied even being in contact with each other, suggesting the document was a fake attempt by the Russians to throw a wrench into the U.S. intelligence community. A spokeswoman for Bernardo sent me a statement today. I want to read part of it. Quote, Bernardo has never spoken with or corresponded with Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz in any fashion. The email mentioned is fictitious disinformation.
Yep, folks, believe it or not, it was discovered in 2020 that Debbie Wasserman Schultz was communicating with this character from the Open Societies Foundation. It was discovered and exposed. And in 2020, they denied ever talking to each other, ever corresponding with each other whatsoever. And said, in fact, claims that they did talk were Russian disinformation. Is it becoming clear to you how just blatantly criminal all of this is? This isn't the type of stuff that you do when you're on the up and up, when you're following the law. Lying to cover up the lies, to cover up the lies, to cover up the lies. Communications to talk about how they're manipulating things, those communications being exposed, and they lie about the exposure, saying actually that's Russian disinformation, when really they were exposed for being the ones to create the whole fake trend of Russian disinformation to cover up the disinformation they were spreading specifically to hamper our relationship with Russia. Hope we're all keeping up. It's a tangled web. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. And that's what we're seeing here. So we'll continue to untangle this very tangled web on the other side. Stay with us. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls. Maybe this hour, maybe the next hour. I'm going to see how much of this I can get through, because there is so very much more to come. So much more information to be discovered. We're on page 5 of 30, folks. 5 of 30, and already I found at least like 10 crimes.
You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theoxygenstore.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, theoxygenstore.com.
The power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. Again, we're just reading through this document release from the Senate. Senator Grassley published this document that's been hidden for 9 years at least. Yeah, I'm not even skipping anything. Every paragraph in this has evidence of the crimes that the Democrats committed in collaboration with the FBI. With regard to the discussion in the last paragraph of this memorandum of scandalous revelations that the, quote, Clinton staff was preparing with report from, quote, special services, the words that FBI linguists translated as special services are Russian words that one analyst believed at the time referred to the FBI and CIA, or more broadly, the intelligence and law enforcement communities. So in other words, when they said special services, the FBI was like, okay, that's sort of code for intelligence agents of some sort. Another analyst, caveating, it was speculation, said that perhaps the phrase special services in this context could refer to Trump dossier author Christopher Steele, who, according to media reports and Steele's own testimony in UK legal proceedings, formerly worked as an intelligence professional for the British government. In addition, the office has determined that at the time of this memorandum, Glenn Simpson's firm, Fusion GPS, was in fact preparing open source opposition research regarding Trump's purported ties to Russian oligarchs. Blank, 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 redacted, redacted, redacted. On March 31st, 2016, FBI personnel, including Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, Deputy General Counsel Anderson, Assistant Director for the Cyber Division James Traynor, and the Director's Chief of Staff James Rybicki, shared the intelligence information with Associate Deputy Attorney General David Margolis, the highest ranking career official in the department, and other senior career officials at the department. The FBI briefed Margolis on the specifics of the sensitive intelligence and informed him that the FBI assessed the information to likely not be credible. FBI's assessment, according to McCabe and later memorialized by Anderson in an August 12, 2016 memorandum discussed below, was based on four factors. First, the report reflected multiple levels of hearsay. Second, somebody involved in the communication or in passing along the communication to somebody at a think tank may have engaged in exaggeration. Third, the blank who drafted the reports may have engaged in editorialization or exaggeration. Fourth, the reports may be unreliable because of translation errors. Okay, so four reasons why the Steele Christopher dossier was illegitimate on the face of it. After that meeting, the FBI sought any additional related information from T1. T1 had no responsive information at this time. The FBI considered taking a number of covert investigative steps to determine, among other things, whether the Attorney General had in fact communicated with Amanda Rintera, the political director of the Hillary Clinton staff referenced in the blank memorandum. The FBI ultimately decided not to take those steps. The FBI ultimately decided not to take these steps. So earlier, it was admitted that Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, her political director, was receiving, quote, regular updates from Attorney General Loretta Lynch, informing her as to the progress of the FBI investigation so they could stay a step ahead and be, you know, bleach bitching, bleach bidding whatever servers that they needed to just before the FBI was able to seize them. The FBI, I guess, got a tip that the attorney general had been communicating with Amanda Renteria and just didn't investigate it. Just decided that might be happening, but we're not going to be looking into it. Okay, great. Comey told the OIG that the FBI did not pursue these steps because the information in Blank's reports did not was not credible on its face, but it was true. It was just, I guess the reports weren't credible, but the information was true. Wrap your mind around that one. In this regard, Tricia Anderson told investigators that the director had said the assertion that the attorney general was pressuring him in connection to the mid-year exam investigation gave him doubts about the credibility of the two documents. Okay, so again, it gets a little convoluted. Trish Anderson told investigators that the director had said the assertion that the attorney general was pressuring him in connection to the mid-year exam investigations gave him doubt as to the credibility of the two documents. So basically saying, because Attorney General Loretta Lynch is pressuring me, I've got doubts about the legitimacy of any of this. In other words, they're trying to stop me from investigating it. It's only raising my hackles and causing me to be more suspicious. He also understood that Margolis' view was that pursuing such steps would take us down the path where, quote, we're investigating the Attorney General of the United States, and that Margolis thought that you ought to have more of a reason to go forward with it than you have. And remember, this was pretty much the same excuse that Comey used when dropping the investigation into Hillary Clinton. Basically going, this is a really big step, and we really don't have the, we really need something more to take such a unprecedented step. Investigating the attorney general? I mean, we got to really be sure. But of course, I mean, they're all communicating with each other. Comey himself knows that Loretta Lynch is trying to stop him from investigating. So, I mean, it's just all bullcrap. It's all hogwash. They're all lying. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly the criminal activity they're involved in. And they're just choosing, they're using their discretion as law enforcement agents to not investigate something that they don't want to find out about. I would say that's a violation of their oath of office, as they are in fact obligated to go after criminal activity, even, and I would say especially when it's being committed by those at the highest level of government. But they're choosing to not pursue something that they probably knew was true anyway, because they know it's true. In other words, if they didn't think Loretta Lynch was talking to the Hillary Clinton campaign, they probably would have investigated that, because then they could come out and say, we've investigated it and we have found no collaborating evidence that this is happening. We clear Loretta Lynch's name. They would investigate it if it wasn't happening. They know that it's happening, so they're not going to investigate it. So instead of having to come out and say, yes, they are communicating, this is criminal, and we're going to charge the attorney general with corruption and violation of her oath of office and violation of classified information and just working with the criminal to, you know, scuttle the investigation. I mean, it's just so criminal. It's just so ridiculously criminal. And maybe it's easier to understand if you just put it in like a small town context where like the, you know, some whatever city manager is under investigation by the local cops and the attorney general of the city is feeding them information about the cops' investigation. There's a murder case, and the suspected murderer is getting inside information from the mayor of the city going, hey, the police are going to go search your cabin. You better go clean it out right now. Right? Just helping them get away with the crime. Telling them what the investigation is doing in order to help them get away with the crime. I mean, this is just patently criminal. I'm sorry. I said I wouldn't try to exaggerate. It's just every one of these lines, when you really think about what they're saying, you see the true scale, scope, the ubiquity of this deception, deceit, corruption, manipulation, PSYOP campaign. The FBI received additional information from T1 regarding a possible Clinton campaign plan. After receiving intelligence in 2016, FBI subsequently received additional intelligence from TI, particularly in late July 2016. They received a report that summarized certain hacked emails allegedly sent by Leonard Bernardo of the Open Society Foundation. So again, that's the other aspect of this, is that you have George Soros, who himself, by the way, is a foreigner, at the center of all of this. The memorandum stated that Clinton approved a plan proposed by one of her foreign policy advisors, Julianne Smith, to, quote, smear Donald Trump by magnifying the scandal tied to intrusion by the Russian special services in the pre-election process to benefit the Republican candidate. The translated draft memorandum stated, in relevant part, according to the data from the election campaign headquarters of Hillary Clinton obtained via the U.S. George Soros Foundation on the 26th of July, 2016, Clinton approved a plan of her policy advisor, Juliana Smith, from the T's NAB, that's an unknown acronym, to smear Donald Trump by magnifying the scandal tied to the intrusion of the Russian special services in the pre-election process to benefit the Republican candidate. As envisioned by Smith, raising the theme of Putin's support for Trump to the level of the Olympic scandal would divert the constituents' attention from the investigation of Clinton's compromised electronic correspondence. All right, let me read that one again. As envisioned by Smith, raising the theme of Putin's support for Trump to the level of the Olympics scandal. And I don't even know what that, does anybody remember what the Olympics scandal was? I don't remember that one. But suffice it to say, they're saying that if we're able to drum up this scandal, if we're able to manufacture evidence or to create out of whole cloth a scandal about Trump being associated with Putin and drive that through the media and force that into the conversation and drive it to such a pitch of attention that's equal to, you know, one of these other scandals like the Olympic scandal, that will divert constituents' attention from the investigation of Clinton's compromised electronic correspondence. So according to this paragraph, hidden for 9 years in this translated memorandum, I believe from the Soros Foundation or something else. Oh, by the way, at the time, Smith worked for the Center for New American Security, CNAS, and was serving as a Clinton campaign foreign policy advisor. She advised investigators were never received notification that her account was hacked, but was aware that CNAS was regularly challenged by friends in China and Russia. So again, you know, CNAS is one of the organizations that, you know, helps to facilitate all of this corruption and manipulation. And of course, is one of the main nodes whenever we like to play old Wikipedia hopscotch. All the evil people are all a part of CNAS and PNAC and all these acronyms. So anyway, what they admit here, just in no uncertain terms and in black and white, is that they, in part, came up with the Russia collusion hoax, admitting it's a hoax and knowing it's a hoax, drumming up the scandal that they knew was fake, at least in part, to literally just distract from Hillary Clinton's email scandal. Literally. They said it would divert the constituents' attention away from the investigation of Clinton's compromised electronic correspondence. So just, if you're a Democrat, if you've ever, or God forbid, if you still have ever given credence to the Russia collusion hoax by Trump, you get that you're a sucker, right? You're a sucker and you fell for it. Okay, Hillary Clinton's the criminal. She was under investigation. She was corresponding with the attorney general. She was deleting her email server to hide the evidence. Just rampant, blatant, pay-for-play criminal corruption. And then they launched this utterly falsified dog and pony show about Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. And you, like an absolute sucker, the biggest goober, dumbass mark in the world, followed the laser pointer. You followed the bouncing ball. You let her distract you with a shiny toy so she could get away with all of her criminality, manipulate you to go after her enemies who hadn't done anything wrong, were not under investigation, and had never used the office of Secretary of State to enrich herself by selling out your country from underneath you. So anybody that fell for this Russia collusion from the beginning should have realized, or should know now, and it's really incontrovertible, you are a sucker and you fell for it, you absolute idiots. That should distract people from her own missing email, especially if the affair goes to the Olympic level and apparent reference to the revelations of massive state-sponsored doping campaign by Russia following the 2014 Winter Games in Sochi. Okay. In addition, by subsequently steering public opinion towards the notion that it needs to equate, quote, Putin's efforts to influence political processes in the U.S. via cyberspace to act against a crucially important infrastructure resembling a national power network would force the White House to use a more confrontational scenarios vis-a-vis Moscow that, as a whole, suits Clinton's line of conduct. This is what I mean, as well as talking about in the beginning of the show. We've always said there's a reason that it was Russia that they wanted to associate Donald Trump with. And it's because they have planned to go after Russia for a long time. And they've worked inside Ukraine for a very long time with the ultimate goal of committing regime change in Russia, going to war in Ukraine, siphoning all of the wealth they possibly can from that country through a variety of, you know, corrupt agreements. And they were worried that Trump was going to come in and make peace with Russia and look into what was going on in Ukraine and find out about all the corruption. And of course, that's what he did. And that was the first impeachment that they launched. But just understand, like, the war with Russia that we're currently involved in and exacerbating was planned a long time ago. And this plan specifically to spread the hoax about Trump and Putin was designed to keep America and Russia at odds with one another, on the wrong foot with one another, so that eventually America could launch a war against Russia and pretend to be the defenders, get all of NATO to go along with it. And this gets a lot more important, and I'll go to some tweets from Mike Binns here in just a second about this idea of the cyberspace, cyber acts, cyber attacks against crucially important infrastructure. So basically, in addition to subsequently steering public opinion towards the notion it needs to equate Putin's efforts to influence political processes in the U.S. via cyberspace to acts against a crucially important infrastructure resembling. So in other words, they say, if we spread this lie that Putin is trying to hack the presidential campaign, we'll be able to sort of morph that into threats against our critical infrastructure. And what they were trying to do and succeeded in doing by spreading this misinformation was getting Barack Obama to come out and make aggressive statements against Russia, you know, driving the wedge between Russia and America farther. As they say, this would force the White House to use a more confrontational footing vis-a-vis Moscow that as a whole suits Clinton's line of conduct. Translation: by lying about Russia's involvement with Donald Trump, not only do you A, distract from Clinton's own email server and the illegal investigation into it, B, associate Trump with Putin and create a bunch of scandal for him and force him on the defensive through your lies, three, force, you know, Russia and America into the paradigm of enemies, just guaranteeing that no potential alliance forms there. Four, gives you, you know, the ability to claim that the attacks on the election or attacks on critical infrastructure are therefore an act of war and further, you know, aggravate the conflict with Putin. And of course, five, if you associate Trump with Putin, then once he's in office, if he ever gets in office, he'll be hamstrung by that insinuation and will be unable to pursue his own goals and will be forced, de facto, to pursue the line of action that the Clintons, aka the deep state, have established for him. A relatively sluggish reaction by the administration to the events surrounding the DNC that led to the resignation of Chairman Deborah Wasserman Schultz provoked exasperation within the PC, possibly a political convention, and the entire deep state, which is hilarious that they just referenced the deep state in this article from 2016 with the capital letters as if it's just a real thing. No quotation marks around this. Which may also be used by Clinton to reinforce her position among the security service agents. Clinton supporters in the FBI lack conclusive, irrefutable evidence of the Russia Federation's involvement in the scandal tied to the theft of the DNC's correspondence. In the meantime, during the launched investigation, there's been a multitude of circumstantial evidence that the alias of Guccifer 2.0, the name of the hacker who accepted responsibility for the incident, was in fact used to cover up a special unit of the GRU, of the Russian Defense Ministry's general staff. During the first stage of the campaign, due to lack of direct evidence, it was decided to disseminate the necessary information through the FBI-affiliated attic-based technical structures that are involved in cybersecurity, in particular the CrowdStrike and Threat Connect companies, from where the information would then be disseminated through leading U.S. publications. In addition, it is presumed in the FBI that in the future, any clumsy propaganda campaign by the GRU is bound to lead to the emergence of more reliable indications of Moscow's involvement, which would imminently intensify the U.S. confrontational tendencies towards Russia. So again, they're trying to foster the confrontational tendencies towards Russia. They're using CrowdStrike to launder information from the intelligence community through the media, or as they put it, it would be disseminated through leading U.S. publications. The next part is massively redacted, but you basically have blank memorandum, blank contains blank, a reference to the Atlantic Council, a think tank based in D.C., another blank, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. According to an FBI analyst interviewed by the office, U.S. institution that was the source of the relevant of the hacked U.S. institution that was the source of the relevant U.S. communications, the above reference memorandum included the English text of the document one blank, blank, blank. As discussed above, the document contained purported email from Bernardo, appears to have been partially based there. Blank of the document, which contained the following text from Leonardo Bernardo, July 25th, 2016. So again, just all right. So we've got the Atlantic Council. We've got the Open Society Foundation. We've got the Carnegie Endowment. Who knows what's behind any of these other redacted segments? We've got the Clinton Global Initiative. We've got Obama and his team with Loretta Lynch. We've got the FBI. I mean, all of these are cabals, right? And you can see they're all working with each other. They're all covering up for each other. They're also pressuring each other. They're, you know, wielding information against one another. They're collaborating while pretending to be at odds. They're at odds while they're pretending to collaborate. I mean, this is a view behind the curtain. This is how the sausage gets made. This is not speculation, because we've been able to speculate and we've been pretty much dead on all of this. From the little hints that we've seen, we have been pretty much dead on, 100% accurate about everything that we assumed was happening behind the scenes. This is, in their own words, from their own information, exactly what happened with names, dates, times, and verbatim communications. Again, confirming pretty much everything that we've known, and actually it's even worse. Actually, we were not sure and not aware of just how involved George Soros' Open Society Foundation was in this. We didn't realize how blatantly they were communicating about, yeah, the FBI is looking for stuff, but they aren't going to find it because all the evidence was on the servers we deleted. Like, we knew that was true, but we haven't had it admitted. We haven't had the confession of it yet until now. But this gets so much bigger. This gets so much bigger, and it sort of starts with the email we're about to read from Leonardo Bernardo. But Mike Binns is going crazy about this because of the insinuation that Russia affecting the, or, you know, interfering in the election was them attacking critical infrastructure, and how that critical infrastructure resilience was then used as the basis and the establishment of the entire censorship industrial complex, is how he puts it. He says, holy effing crap, this is the gosh darn classified index that has been classified for 9 gosh darn years. This is where they cooked up the critical infrastructure hoax that created the legal predicate cover for the entire censorship industrial complex. It's all been a scheme. It's all been a giant charade. All the people that we told you were involved. They all collaborated, and they all thought they were going to get away with it, because they really thought with all this scheming, with all this criminality, with all this gangsterism and mafia tactics and deception and psyops and cover-ups, they never thought in a million years that would fail. How can you scheme so much and still fail? How can you be so corrupt and still fail?
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I'll say this. See, this is the beauty when we deal with actual facts. Mm-hmm. I'll go straight to the United States government policy. You have what's called the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200, which was authorized, written under Dr. Henry Kissinger, who was the 32nd Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Pardon me. Documentation. Now, this is all we go straight to what the U.S. government has stated. Mm-hmm. He stated, quote, depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world, end quote. They literally stated in this documentation that we need to get rid of 2 to 3 billion people on planet Earth. Outside of that, you have something called Global 2000, which was also authorized under Jimmy Carter, outlining how food can be used as a weapon. Outside of that, you had someone by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a former advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who stated, quote, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people than to physically kill a million people. He said, but now it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than it is to control, end quote.
It was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control.
So what you're dealing with is the food, the air, the water, reproductive services, Planned Parenthood, and all these different arenas are being used to go towards an effort of getting rid of human beings, black, white, and all in between, by the billions.
I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are diehard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming appallingly evident.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
But at this point, they are looking at the reality that people are waking up too fast. They didn't expect us to wake up too fast, hence social media being a problem, a gift and a curse.
I've studied the pieces. We've got the owner's manual. We've got the blueprint. And let me tell you, it ain't pretty. UN climate change official says we should, quote, make every effort to depopulate the planet, close quote. There is pressure in the system to go towards that. We should do everything possible to carry that out. I mean, these people are totalitarians. It's eugenics. It's depopulation program. That's why this is the biggest subject that we could possibly cover. It's the reality. And so you think about that, and you think about what's going on long and hard. You better look into it, folks. You better find out it's real, okay? You think you're freaked out by this? I know why a lot of you are in denial.
So now that we're waking up so quickly, they didn't expect the masses of humanity to rise up, wake up, become aware of what this government's agenda is. And because of that, now they're trying to figure out exactly how to get rid of people. They said these white folks is waking up. They're coming against us, their government. Black folks is waking up. They're coming against us. So now at this point, they're like, well, just get rid of them all.
Now, back to our program.
In the power of conversation into the caller's hands, you're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. 9:33 Central Standard Time. We're halfway through the show today, and I'm making our way. We're making our way slowly but surely through this publication by Chuck Grassley. And every one of these pages has revelations. Every one of the revelations entails so much. You can dig down into it, but I don't want to lose the forest for the trees and just try to lay out like what. So far what we've learned, first of all, is that everything revealed in this has been known for years, as this was gathered and written and established and then classified years ago. It is again the classified appendix to the investigation arising out of the 2016 presidential campaigns. This is the addendum to the Durham report that was hidden and now finally revealed. What we've learned is that Russian intelligence hacked and gained unlawful access to emails of numerous U.S. public and private entities, including government agencies, nonprofit organizations, and think tanks, including the Open Societies Foundation, which at the time was known as the Soros Foundation. And they found emails between Leonard Bernardo, who at the time was the regional director for Eurasia at the Open Societies Foundation, coordinating with Debbie Wasserman Schultz to orchestrate the entire Russia collusion hoax from the beginning with the cooperation of Obama, his Department of Justice, and the FBI. We learned that this was all quarterbacked and supervised and coordinated by the Open Societies Foundation in collaboration with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who at the time was the head of the DNC. We discovered that the FBI was investigating Hillary Clinton because of pay for play, where Hillary Clinton, as director of the State Department, Secretary of the State Department, gave preferential treatment to people who donated to the Clinton Foundation. They were trying to investigate those claims, but couldn't because, as they admit, the timely deletion of relevant data from mail servers. Okay, so again, in this document, we have that the FBI was investigating Hillary Clinton because the State Department was giving preferential treatment, pay for play, with people who donated to the Clinton Global Initiative. But that all of that business was done on illegal off-site email servers that were wiped before the FBI could seize them. In addition to that, Obama had no intention to darken the final part of his presidency and legacy. So in order to protect his own legacy and preserve his own so-called supposedly scandal-free presidency, Barack Obama sent Attorney General Loretta Lynch to lean on and try to pressure Comey to drop the investigation into Hillary Clinton. In addition to that, he is said to have given orders to activate all levers of control under his authority as executive, as head of the executive branch, to try to stop this investigation into Hillary Clinton. Barack Obama sanctioned the use of all administrative levers to remove possible negative effects from the FBI investigation of cases related to the Clinton Foundation and the email correspondence of the State Department. We also heard that the political director of the Hillary Clinton staff, Amanda Renteria, was receiving regular updates from Loretta Lynch, advising her as to the plans and intentions of the FBI so that they could stay ahead of it and avoid, you know, having them find evidence of their criminal activity. Okay, then they lay out in no uncertain terms how they were going to be releasing this information about Trump and trying to associate him with members of the Russian mafia and later directly with Putin because of a couple reasons, because they wanted to obviously frame Trump, but they also obviously wanted to drive a wedge between America and Russia. They wanted to decrease the likelihood that Trump, if he ever did get power, would be able to end their long laid plans for eventual war with Russia, the Third World War, regime change, eliminating Russia as a nationalist barrier to their globalist schemes. We have all the names of all the people involved in this. Christopher Steele, Glenn Simpson, Fusion GPS, Andrew McCabe, James Traynor, James Rubicki, David Margolis. They all knew the information wasn't credible. They all knew that there was no legitimacy to the claim of Trump in Russia. And there's a bit of sort of confusion with this when we get to the other parts, because, you know, in the beginning, it's framed almost like the FBI under James Comey really was trying to go after Clinton and trying to investigate her, and Obama and Loretta Lynch were trying to stop him. And there was this, you know, internal conflict between the FBI, who was trying to pursue justice, and the Democrat operatives who were trying to stop them. But then later you see the FBI is perfectly willing. And the phrase they use is throw oil on the problem, throw oil on the fire, right? The FBI was willing to collaborate with these liars to perpetuate the lie that Donald Trump was associated with Russia. And we'll show you that in just a second. So again, all the different reasons why they'd want to associate Trump with Putin, primarily to distract from the investigation of Hillary Clinton, but also to set up this idea that Putin was attacking crucial infrastructure, which, if you remember, Hillary Clinton said during the campaign, you know, cyber attacks will be treated as real war. So if Russia is attacking our infrastructure, then we'll treat that as an act of war and we'll respond militarily.
So they're setting all this up. Again, just insane warmongers starting wars, lying relentlessly, total corruption, total conspiracy behind the scenes, coordinated by the Open Societies and CNAS, these, you know, unelected, foreign-operated think tanks with, you know, ultimate power in this country, including the Atlantic Council, including the Carnegie Endowment, including CNAS. I mean, again, we're 8 pages into this 30-page thing, and it's already like a checklist, the who's who of the conspiracy array. So, from Leonard Bernardo, on July 25th, 2016, hi, the media analysis on the DNC hacking appears solid. This is an important story because it would be the first time that we know of that a state deliberately uses the infiltration and publication of data to interfere in the U.S. election. At the same time, politicization is on the table. I've been a bit surprised that nobody has mentioned this 18-month-long story yet in their analysis and makes explicit reference to U.S. elections at the end. Julie, this appears to be reference to the Clinton foreign policy advisor referenced in the memorandum, Julianne Smith, right? So this was a person that supposedly came up with the whole idea in the first place, going, hey, let's associate Trump with Putin. She's a CNAS operative who came to with that idea to Clinton. Obviously, she's working with Leonard Bernardo in the Open Society Foundation to bring about this hoax as well. Julie says it would be a long-term affair to demonize Trump and Putin. And again, remember, all this stuff is from 2016 when they were sure that Hillary Clinton was going to win. We read it earlier. There was no doubt in their mind that Hillary Clinton was on the path to victory. So keep that in mind in this context. They're all working under the assumption that Hillary Clinton will soon be president. So the association with Putin and Trump was a long-term plan, not just to stop Trump in the interim, not just to distract from Hillary Clinton's emails. Those are also positives from this scheme that they would see. But more importantly, it was a long-term affair to demonize Putin and Trump. They say now it is good for post-convention bounce. Later, the FBI will put more oil into the fire. Outcome is far from clear as Americans are more keen on their own woes and Hillary is hardly good-looking as far as credibility is concerned. Anyway, things are ghastly for U.S.-Russian relations. Yeah, because of them. Things are ghastly for U.S.-Russian relations because you keep telling lies about Russia in order to completely sabotage U.S.-Russian relations. It'll be a long-term affair to demonize Putin and Trump, saying later the FBI will pour more oil onto the fire. So the FBI is not really at odds with these people. I mean, the FBI, you know, earlier they pretend they're trying to get Hillary, and that's not true. It's not true. They're coordinating. Apparently, they're in communication with the Open Society Foundation under Mr. Bernardo, who has assurances from them that, yeah, we'll throw oil on the fire later. We'll come out with some information that makes it seem like all this is legitimate. So the FBI is in on this. They may be, you know, negotiating with Loretta Lynch in the background, but they're in on this. And they knew this was going on, and they were working with these criminals, which is why they were never brought to justice. Blank also received from T1 a slightly different version of this email. This version includes a statement, quote, later the FBI will put more oil onto the fire, and contains an added sentence. They say, anyway, it should last as long as the Olympics accusation, and things are ghastly for Russian relations. So I can't help but think they keep mentioning these Olympics thing. It sounds like the Olympics accusations was just another scam they ran. They keep referencing it like, hey, remember how successful we were with that Olympics scandal? So I going back, I wouldn't be surprised if the Olympic scandal was just absolutely fraudulent. I mean, I'm sure I assumed it was anyway. I guess the Olympic scandal was about Russia doping at the Sochi Olympics, and they keep talking about it like, hey, you know that scam we ran where we, you know, created this big scandal about the Olympics for Russia? Let's do that again with Trump this time. So that's interesting. Blank also obtained information from the Sensitive Intelligence Collection. Blank, an email dated the following day. The FBI's translation of the email is as follows. Great. A whole bunch of material appeared in the press today regarding the subject. It appears that the news around Guccifer's Russian background is tightening. I suggest doing, TN writing, something about a task from somebody. I don't know. Some dark forces like the FBI, for instance, or better yet, Clinton sympathizers in IC, intelligence community, Pentagon, deep state, or somewhere else. Like, again, this is from 2016, and they're just referencing the deep state that they're a part of, like the FBI, the Pentagon, the deep state, you know, the deep state. Let's get them to do something. And they're like, the deep state doesn't exist. Meanwhile, in their own correspondents is. They're going, should we get the deep state on this? I think the deep state could really help us here. About American websites deploying a campaign to demonize the actions of Russia's GRU, acting in accordance with VVP, that's Vladimir Putin, to undermine the forces of good in the elections in the interest of Donald Trump, who's basically an agent of influence. Using inept GRU operatives, there is such information, and their general inclination of adventurism and idiocy, a number of crucial technical implications pointing to Russia were exposed and so on. Will that be okay? So again, just coordinating, manipulating all of this. Another email dated July 27, 2016, appears to discuss, quote, making something to illuminate how Clinton was attempting to vilify Moscow and discredit Putin and Trump. Again, just totally manipulating everything, just totally lying in order to start a war. The email attached to the following English text and documents, which appears to be another email from Bernardo bearing a date of July 27, 2016. Hi. Hillary Rodham Clinton approved Julia's idea about Trump and Russia hackers hampering U.S. elections. That should distract people from her own missing email, especially if the affair goes to the Olympic level. The point is making the Russian play a U.S. domestic issue. Say something like critical infrastructure threat for the election to feel menace, since both POTUS and VPOTUS have acknowledged the fact ICU would speed up searching for evidence that is regrettably still unavailable. However, there seems to be signs GRU penetration. They appear hardly skilled, incompetent, bumbling idiots, and SMB, somebody called them, in absence of direct evidence. CrowdStrike and Threat Connect will supply the media, and GRU will hopefully carry on to give more facts. Say something like critical infrastructure threat, since both POTUS and the vice president have acknowledged the fact that ICU would speed up searching for evidence that is regrettably still unavailable. Saying, basically, there's no evidence that they can present, but in absence of direct evidence, CrowdStrike and Threat Connect will supply the media. Okay, so they'll come up with the information to feed to the media to run with this story. Again, it's almost like we should be making a... We should honestly have a whiteboard with red string connecting all of these things. CrowdStrike, Open Societies Foundation, Atlantic Council, Carnegie Endowment, CNAS, the DNC... the Obama cabal, the FBI. I mean, it's just this massive tangled web where they're all working with each other. They're all manipulating information. They're all laundering information through various organs to, you know, boost credibility, as we explained earlier, where you have this whole, you know, across the board, broad spectrum approach where everybody's reporting the same thing. It must be true. Here on the authenticity of the Bernardo emails. The office interviewed numerous FBI personnel who were involved in Crossfire Hurricane or related intelligence efforts to determine whether they could shed light on potential reliability or unreliability of the information about the possible Clinton campaign plan. Certain blank analysts and officers whom the office interviewed and whom were well-versed in sensitive intelligence collection stated that their best assessment was that the Bernardo emails were likely authentic. Multiple analysts noted that the Russians had, in fact, hacked Bernardo's emails. Some analysts also noted it was possible, however, that the Russians might have fabricated or altered purported U.S. emails, but some of these analysts also noted that sensitive information was blank. And so here we can jump over, and I mean, it just goes on and on, and again, this is just an absolutely amazing tranche of documents that lays out just absolutely everything, how this was all carried out. And again, this is all different, by the way, than anything that Tulsi Gabbard has presented. Because I kept saying then, it was suspicious to me that they were only submitting things about after Trump was elected, right? After the election, but before he was inaugurated, Obama and Comey got up to a bunch of stuff and, you know, they were hiding the real intelligence briefings and, you know, changing definitions to confuse things. But that was all after the election. Everything happening here, this was all before the election. This is all to rig the election beforehand, which is... you know, good that we're finally getting to, you know, the real heart of the matter. But it goes on and on, and honestly, you need to read it for yourself. But Mike Benz points out, as you said earlier, that this critical infrastructure threat is the legal predicate cover for the entire censorship industrial complex. He says, super short story version on Joe Rogan of how this plot set in motion above. Say something about critical infrastructure threat to elections to feel menace from today's classified annex snowballed into the disinformation governance control to control social media speech. Note, for example, how DHS, who mass censored virtually the entire Trump movement during the 2020 election, got away with censoring by citing power to, quote, protect critical infrastructure of elections from, quote, misinformation. Self-aware, they bumped up against the First Amendment. DHS's Social Media Censorship Council, led by its outside censorship partners, Vijaya Gadde, the head of censorship at Twitter 1.0, and Kate Starbird, who was named Protecting Critical Infrastructure from Misinformation and Disinformation Council for the same scam legal reasons. If you were censored in 2020 for questioning mail-in ballots or voting machines, this classified annex today is why. There's a medium-length, here's medium-length primer on how the U.S. government used this unbelievably deceitful false predicate of critical infrastructure to censor millions in the 2020 election cycle. On January 6, 2017, 2 weeks before Trump took office, two latch-ditch ops were launched at once. One, the Obama intelligence community launched Russiagate with formal utter BS report claiming Russia interfered in the election. And two, DHS took federal control over elections by designating the metaphysical concept of elections as critical infrastructure only under its own domain. All 50 states opposed DHS doing this, but the outgoing Obama federal government steamrolled all 50 states anyway. So again, this label of critical infrastructure has had very long-term and devastating effects. Just like, but I mean, this is just what they do, right? It's why they say anti-Semitism is a health crisis. Now, elections are critical infrastructure, and anti-Semitism is a health crisis, and it's just whatever they have, whatever label they have to put on whatever they're trying to control. It's just very simple, blatant manipulation, rhetorical fallacy. And in fact, this is exactly the time sequence of how it played out on January 6, 2017. First, at 1:41 p.m., Congress certified Trump's election win. Then, with Trump's win now final and no hope left for the intelligence community to obstruct it, then suddenly, magically, the entire joint U.S. intelligence community assessment drops just 4 hours later with the report directly insinuating Trump's win was illegitimate because Russia interfered to help Trump win. Then suddenly, magically, DHS, just 30 minutes after that, swoops in with a permanent unilateral federal designation that it has taken over state-level control of voting systems, which we'd had in this country for 230 years, citing the intelligence community's BS new report, which ODNI and CIA clearly held back until the very moment Trump was certified president, so his first hours began with him immediately tarred as illegitimate and possibly criminal. This is the deep state. This is the conspiracy. This is it, and it just goes on and on, folks. I'll go ahead and pull in that at least one of these videos by Mike Benz. You know, he's been on top of this. But like I said, we've all known that this was the case. We've all known, at least in part, or not in specific, but in a vague way, it's been obvious the entire time how this was coordinated, who was coordinating it, how it was going on. Remember the tarmac meeting with Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch right at the height of the Clinton email scandal. James Comey coming out and saying that, yes, Hillary Clinton probably broke the law, but no, we're not going to be charging her for it. I mean, all of this has been obvious, but to actually have the names and the times and the communications and the way they're so blatant about it. Yeah, we got to release this to distract from the email investigation. The email investigation is not going to go anywhere because we already wiped the servers with all the illegal activity on it. And that's another, you know, aspect of this that it really is like the fractal conspiracy. It's like all of this starts with, you know, this activity from the Clinton Global Fund, you know, collaborating and with the State Department in order to, you know, give people benefits. Even that is not really the worst that they were involved in. And as we said from the beginning, you know, deleting the emails, yes, was a crime. Having the offsite server, yes, that in and of itself was a crime. But that crime was only committed in furtherance of other crimes, in order to cover up other crimes, including crimes like sending, you know, missiles to terrorist groups that are capable of taking down passenger airplanes. Right, the weapons shipments moving through Libya, being sent to the moderate rebels who eventually now have taken over Syria and are systematically oppressing and murdering Christians and Alawites in that country, destroying, you know, 2,000-year-old edifices because of their Muslim extremism. So like all of this, all everything, all the criminal activity that we've been through in just the first 13 pages of this document were all just a cover up. It was all just a cover up for the other criminal activity that Clinton was involved in, the email server, which itself was there just to facilitate the criminal activity she was involved in, running guns, taking pay for play, bribes through the Clinton initiative. I mean, it's insane. It truly is insane. How you've just got crime, you've got cover up on top of crime, on top of cover up, on top of crime, all in furtherance of starting a war to get a million people killed and overthrow Vladimir Putin for no particular reason, for no legitimate, discernible, valid reason whatsoever. The deep state just decided we need an enemy. We need to go to war with Russia. We need to keep them on the back burner as a potential existential enemy to start a world war with. So we can't have us being too cozy with them. And again, it does just go on and on. You got Robbie Mook getting involved in here. Mook suggests Russians leaked DNC emails to help Trump. Just pushing this absolute lie that they all knew was a lie from the beginning, to get the FISA warrants, to spy on Trump, to destroy. I mean, it's just blatant treason activity, total destruction of the democratic system as we know it. And if these people aren't arrested, if Hillary Clinton isn't thrown in jail, if Barack Obama isn't charged with this, there really is no hope in our current system. If they can be exposed to this level and still not pay the price for it, especially when you consider the immense amounts of human suffering that have come as a consequence of this, it is not a suggestion. It's not a request. It's a necessity. It is mandatory. These people have to be punished to the fullest extent of the law. Period. That's it. It just has to happen. Now, I got a lot of other videos to get to. We'll move on a little bit. We got Kamala Harris to make fun of. We got Mel Gibson making some pretty crazy statements about Gavin Newsom and so much more. I do want to remind you, go now to thealexjonesstore.com. There's a store-wide buy one, get one free super sale on all supplements and all merchandise, but only for VIP members. And if you want to join the VIP club, just take advantage of this sale. I wouldn't blame you. It's worth it. I mean, it's that good of a sale. Go now, sign up for the VIP club, get the discount, buy your supplements, get them for 50% off, buy one, get one, same difference. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let me send you, and we'll be back in the third hour on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list or text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. You have 7 days from this date to buy one bottle of any of our amazing supplements, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the list goes on and on, Ultimate Life Force, and get a bottle absolutely free. But you gotta be a VIP. But that's the best part. This catch is a great deal. You spend $30 a month being a subscriber, you cancel any time, and you get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers just sent to you, and you can cancel any time. So you make $10 by becoming a subscriber. You can cancel any time. It's only running for 7 days. Experience Ultramethylene Blue. Experience the other incredible supplements. But also, the buy one, get one free goes for the ball caps, the t-shirts, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Those of you who've ever gotten products, now's the time. It'll blow you away. Get the methylene blue bare minimum at thealexofstore.com.
I'm going to go to the store.